there were people that were labeled and labeled, oh, that person's crazy.
Yeah. When we want to be free, you have to be free of labels.
We internalize it. We just got to figure out how to get it out of our system.
Men, we have to get help for the things that are ailing us. They don't just disappear. Mm-mm. You need to talk to someone.
But thank God that we don't look like what we've been through.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Because it's those things that God kept us.
I'm going to win. You going to win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning.
Hello, hello. Come on. Encourage Nation, you know who this is. This is what? Pastor Hickman. This is Derwin Hickman. This is your cousin. This is your nephew. Come on. This is your next door neighbor. This is Dr. Hickman, your counselor. Come on. And your mentor. Listen, Encourage Nation, I am excited. I am where? In Atlanta, Georgia. Listen, I am in the city where you know they are doing big things here in Atlanta. And so today, I'm trying to tell you, I got a guest in the room that you really want to go tell somebody. You need to share this one. You need to like this message. You need to subscribe. I am telling you right now, if you have any young kids or any men that you are trying to get the fire up under, I got Mr. Rob Beatty in the house. I'm trying to tell you, this entrepreneur, this leader right now, somebody you may not have heard about, but somebody that I know that's doing great things. He is big in the industry. And so today, I just want you all to say hello, Encourage Nation, to Mr. Rob Beatty. Come on, Mr. Rob, how you doing? Man,
I'm doing very well, man. I just caught fire right now. Man. That's awesome, man.
You're fire,
you,
man.
Thank you for the intro, man. I'm glad to be here with you.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Encourage Nation, I had to put on the suit for you today. I couldn't rock the head and all that today because Mr. Beatty came in hot. And I said, all right, man, you're not going to show me up on this camera. But again, I just want to tell you to sit back right now. We're getting ready to do some big things and introduce you to some things that I want to tell you right now. Rob Beatty is what a leader right now, historically, and preservation and cultural education. I got to read his bio because y'all might not know this dude is doing big things. Known for his work in storytelling and community engagement as the founder and president of Kentucky Black Bourbon, which is Guild is KBBG. And it said he focused on uncovering untold stories and ensuring historical accuracy in industry rich and tradition. Man, I'm trying to tell you, his work blends research, education, and advocacy to inspire generation, future generation. What struck me about him was the fact that we had our first conversation and he said, listen, I am about putting us in the room. I am about changing culture. I am about changing direction. I am about seeing us as decision makers. I am about helping us understand what wealth is all about. You can't make decisions if you have nothing to back it. So this guy right here, Rob Beatty, is telling us how we get ready to back some things, how he is doing some big things. He's not only here in Atlanta, he's also in Kentucky. And so he has a lot of things that he's going to share with us today in a short amount of time. But I'm telling you right now, I'm going to pull as much as I can from him because right now, I'm not going to waste that moment of time. So Rob, I just want you to tell us a little bit about your history. How did you get started? And right now, we're seeing all of this, how it is, but how you got here?
Okay. That's a story to tell within itself, man. It all started out because as an entrepreneur, I was looking for a new avenue to get into to the industry.
Yes, sir.
And I was going to start a tourism company.
Okay.
And so I did a test run, took about 12 friends. Uh-huh. Did a dry run through the industry. We did some distillery tours, and we actually ended up at a museum. And the museum is supposed to be a museum. It's supposed to have all these stories and all these people, all these places, and we were looking for this great, you know, opportunity to connect. We went in, man, and I saw speckles of black people on the wall, but there was no historical context with us. Okay. So it was all untold, all lost stories. I pivoted immediately. Went back to Kentucky and spoke with some people there about what I saw, and that was very disturbing. Wow. And so with that, I started a group that the goal was to honor the African American contribution, past, present, and the future.
Yeah, like that.
Just like that.
And so when we see that, I hear you. You said I saw speckles.
Yeah.
This is a museum.
Yeah.
And so a museum is supposed to capture history.
Absolutely.
So some of us were being written out of history.
Absolutely.
So how important is history to you?
Man, I probably I say it's divine, but I've always been interested in my history, mm-hmm. and I've always been interested in Black history. But what captivated me and put some fire under me was that the curator said to me, "Sir, you have to do your own research." Mm-hmm. So she charged me,
yeah,
because she knew there was nothing there. And so when you go back and say, yeah, we know we've been ridden out of a lot of industries. You look at the equine industry, you look at the hemp industry, but this is an industry that is a $9 billion industry per year. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of opportunities, but it's also a lot of missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was really something I took on myself to say, I'm going to fill the museum with new stories. Untold stories. And so I took that charge, and you know, you have to go back and honor the past in order to get to the present day. And so we built a team out of historians, we built a team out of storytellers, and now we're working very closely with the distilleries in the industry that says, hey, we're going to give you access to our archives. Right. And now you can pull out whatever stories that you need.
Wow. So if you don't know where you've come from, you're not going to know who you are.
Absolutely.
And so you're helping us to understand who we are.
Absolutely.
As a culture and as a race and how we have contributed.
There you go.
To the industry.
There you go.
That is billions there.
Yeah.
Which means that it was built on our backs. We were a part of this, but mm-hmm. we've been left out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am so excited about hearing that, because history is something that most of us don't want to talk about.
Sure.
And many of us do not understand. But I'm glad someone charged you with going back to find out what is your history.
Yeah. Man, in the days growing up, we had griots. We always had someone in the family that knew everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And knew all of our connection. They knew our lineage. They knew who our cousins are. They knew, you know, they knew our family members. And so when we're growing up today in a world of social media, we don't have those connections. We don't have that grandmother or that auntie or that uncle that knew the history of where we came from. And so for me, it's really starting there. Where did we come from? Because as we know, indicative to America, the sweat equity is on the backs of people of color.
Yeah.
And so for me, this particular industry intrigued me because of how much damage this has been done. So in order to fix the current day, we still got to go back into the past. But today, you fast forward, it's an industry that represents less than 1%.
Wow.
And so you talk about a $9 billion industry that we as people represent less than 1% of the workforce. But it all goes back to the history because we don't have a connection to it. So you got to build that connection, and it comes through history. It comes through storytelling. It says, we belong here because our people built this.
Wow.
George Washington owned 8 distilleries. George Washington wasn't out there in those fields. That was our people.
So it's beyond making money.
Sure.
It's about leaving legacy.
Absolutely.
And an imprint to be read and shown when you're no longer here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I believe that we as a culture sometimes get caught up on financial, but it is what we can do with the financials that's going to read forever.
Absolutely.
Because that becomes a museum now that others, generations from now, you know, our children, our grandchildren's children, again, they're supposed to understand what it took to get here and then to understand who they are and what role they play. We always see puzzle pieces, right? And we always see puzzles, but we never figure out how do we fit in the puzzle. And when someone takes your piece, you feel like you don't fit. But all of us have a place to fit into the puzzle. Now you're helping us understand that. And now we move into another part that you have, next level facility. I like that, solutions. Next level facility solutions.
Absolutely.
You're saying next level. You're telling us that you can't be satisfied with where you are.
Mm-mm.
There's another level to this. How did you get that name?
Man, and even as cliche as it may sound, really next level came to me during the pandemic.
Okay.
Because we were actually in a position where we were We had the superpower. We had the cape on our back. The cleaning industry was critical at that point. And so in the older days, we were viewed as the cleaning crew.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're viewed as the cleaning professionals.
Yeah.
And so to take it to the next level, I wanted to do an operation that actually did facilities. So everything from the roof down. And we always are going to provide the solutions. And so the value in that is that for my client base, that you don't have to look any further. Everything you need is right here in this organization right here. And that's from the roof down. If it's mitigation, if it's landscaping, if it's security, if it's cleaning, if it's supplies, you name it, we've got it all right here. And the key thing is that we're not only providing you a cleaner building, next level cleaning, but we're also giving you an experience that says we don't have to look any further. Man, we signed contracts at 3-5 year contracts, and it just solidifies the company that we are.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing. Now you're going back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that we were taught to clean houses,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We were doing some, but a lot of us have gotten away from what it was that we were taught, right? We
sure.
We can think that it's less than, or we're least than,
yeah.
in order to be able to do this. But you have spun that thing
yeah.
into a whole nother world.
Absolutely.
To say, listen here, I'm going to take what I was shown and what we were taught,
yeah.
and now I'm going to build the empire on this, and what I'm doing is next level.
Yeah. And it's deeper than cleaning, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a culture that I've built inside of this company as well. And the culture is to honor those that work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're a very diverse workplace, we have cultures. We have the African community. We have the Hispanic community.
Yes, sir.
We've got the Black community. And so we honor those people that work for us. You know, our goal is to be viewed as the top workplace. We can't do it without the many people that are out there doing it every day. But my business acumen was to go from not only how to clean, but why. Why are we here? And it's larger than just the cleaning company. We're also, I mean, we're a company that people depend on us every day to pay their bills. This is their livelihood. But we also appreciate them as the professionals that they are.
Yeah. So you also are providing opportunity.
Yes.
And that's so key.
Mm-hmm.
That it's Absolutely. Beyond just who I am, just as an entrepreneur, but it's also about providing opportunities for others to feed their family.
Absolutely.
And you're teaching them how to continue feeding your family
mm-hmm.
by working in the industry, by having a vision, and then also by diversifying.
There you go.
And that's what I hear you saying, too, is that there is some diversity here. But you got to start somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In order to go anywhere, you got to start.
Absolutely.
And
we have a mentorship program. So any of those budding entrepreneurs that are in the company, there's a mentorship program where I'll assist them into start their own company.
Wow.
Because, you know, in order for this industry to continue to grow, we need to continue to develop those that are within the company as well.
Wait a minute. So you're saying you're going to teach those who are working for you how to do what you do. So you're not afraid of that?
No.
You're not afraid of the competition?
Not at all.
You're not afraid to show someone how to do what you do?
No, man. I'm community-based, man. And you know, I was brought up that, you know, each one teaches one.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes back to just my upbringing and that I had mentors that taught me, and they don't look like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, no, I have zero fear in teaching people the dying art of professional cleaning.
Mm.
And it goes beyond financial. It goes beyond that this is just a service that I provide.
Yeah.
And that's just from a faith base, that's what I believe in.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, very trusting. It's a trusting thing that we have, but it's also, it develops the community and it develops those within the organization, which if they grow, I grow.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. It comes back around.
Well, help me understand this one. We talk about this all the time, you know, and I talk about the crabs in a bucket, you know, if one gets up, we got to pull them back down, as opposed to helping them to stay up. We can get into those opportunities where we don't want to show. I'm going to be honest with you with this podcast. We're doing some things. No, it's not millions of followers now. But what I do believe is that God has a word through everyone and your part should come through. But we need more people to help the crabs get out the bucket as opposed to pulling them in the bucket. And so what I want to tell you, why do we do that?
Man, I think that it goes back to what we were taught. We were taught and I speak for my community that you don't want to reveal too much. You don't want to show too much. We got to water down what we have and hide all our worldly belongings and so that we don't look like we have anything.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm about developing people to grow because I never know that their skill set may be used in a different way at a later time.
Yeah.
And so if I'm developing people inside of my organization, there's a point where I've got people now that are willing to travel in areas that I definitely don't want to be in. Mm-hmm. So I build sister companies.
Oh, wow.
And so these sister companies that we have, if it's a deal that comes my way, I'm glad to pass it on.
Wow. You said and pass it on.
I'm glad to pass it on. And so
you're not going to try to take everything for yourself?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. There's some things that there's some businesses and some industries that I don't necessarily want to do. And so I'm still strong because I'm able to grow outward by helping other people that are looking to do the same thing. And so if I can help someone further develop their skill set, it can put more food on their table, help them, man, it comes back around to us, man.
A rapid fire question I'm going to put in here.
All right.
What did you have to say no to that you said they came to me and I just didn't feel it? My belief or either my where I am in life right now, it wasn't the direction I was supposed to go in.
Gentlemen clubs.
Okay.
Schools.
Okay.
Anything related to, I mean, honestly, I don't do any government contracts.
Okay.
Yeah. You see what's going on in the government today, and just as easy as they can pull those contracts from you. I don't like the way the government really, it makes you cross compete. And I don't particularly care for that practice.
Wow.
So I'll say no to those industries quick. But that's, again, that's me saying no, but having sister companies, I'm able to also pass that opportunity to say, hey, you may want to take a look at this. Restaurants as well.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So now let me ask you a question. When we start talking about mentoring, right? Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. Your children, how have they grasped? Do they want to do what you're doing? Do they like, oh, dad, you know, that's your thing. I'm going to do my own thing. How are they responding?
Man, I kind of grew up wanting, obviously, my children to take over the business, but I also know that if it's not in their hearts and it's not their mission, then I don't push it. Yeah. I support them in whatever they want to do because God has a plan for them, and it may not be through my industry. It may, or my company. It may just be that they have their own. They all have their own purposes, and my son is to serve. My son is in the police academy right now. And he's always been that kid.
Right.
But the foundation is that he learned foundational things that he could take anywhere. And I told him, I said, son, if you know how to move this mop, move this piece of equipment, you know how to do this, you can have a job anytime that can support you. So at least he knows the foundation. But for his purpose, he's in the law enforcement.
Yeah.
My daughter, she is a... She's working on her master's degree right now, Kentucky State University. She's working in cybersecurity.
Oh, wow.
That's been her passion.
Wow.
She's always loved computers and technology, and that's her thing. So there's a later date that we could pull it all together, but right now I support them in their positions and what they want to do. And I've got a nephew that ironically wants to come in and run the business as well. So yeah. I'm supporting him on coming in.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, it just kind of works in different ways, but... I feel better knowing that they're doing exactly what they want to do, and they love what they do. And I know that, you know, at some point, if it's meant to be, they'll come back around.
So what you're saying is that passion should be the driving force beyond your faith. Passion about what it is you do. We don't just get into things just because you can make money. Or just because you can become a celebrity. Just because it looks good, sounds good. But is it going to be good for you? Many times we jump on the bandwagon of what's hot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so cleaning again, you built this business. You have your bourbon brand that you're doing and all of the different things of that. But what you also said was that you felt something on the inside of you that became bigger than just that, the historical pieces of that.
Yeah.
But how you now are talking about international things that you want to do. Tell them about that piece of the equation. It's not just local.
No.
You're saying, man, I'm having global impact is what we're talking about.
Absolutely. Some of the things that we're working on now is going to affect the global markets because it's still on the cusp. And so for example, one of the documentaries that we're writing on now is going to really open up that there was actually women in the bourbon industry. And so that was the thing that we always heard in the beginning, that there wasn't any women in the distilleries, and now we know it's not true. And so from the images that we have and from some of the living legends that we still know, Miss Elma Lucille Allen, she was the first chemist, African-American chemist at Brown-Forman Corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's 93 years young, still living, still kicking. And so she has shared some information of what she actually experienced inside of the distillery. And Brown-Forman, as we know, is one of the largest owned distilleries. And so from a international standpoint, it's still education that is just going global because we didn't teach it, we didn't know it, we didn't hear it. So now we understand that this information has always been there. We just didn't have anybody to pull it out.
What keeps you driven now that you're doing this? Right?
Yeah.
You're here. You're at a place. And I believe you just hit the nickel, you know. I tell everybody I hit double nickel, which was to 55, and now I'm turning 58 this year.
Yeah.
What is it that's keeping you driven, driving forward, keeping your foot on the gas, pushing forward? What is that?
Like Kobe said, man, the job's not done yet.
Not done.
The job is not done yet.
You have not arrived.
We're just getting started.
Come on.
Just getting started. I mean, the actual, I don't even know what is completion. I know that there's some personal goals that I have.
Right.
And as I spoke to you, one of the personal goals is that we're actually rewriting the school books now. And we're inputting that piece in. And again, it's not talking about the actual spirit. It's actually talking about the contribution. Keep it at an agriculture standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Keep it at an agriculture. And so keep it at a chemical standpoint. Keep it at the chemistry of it. Mm-hmm. Just go, you know, go from the distillation process. We're able to say that our people were the actual ones that were the first farmers
mm-hmm.
in this industry.
Okay.
Okay. So if you know about the product, there's a corn aspect, there's a malt and barley, there's a grain, there's a wheat, there's different types of hybrid corn that were brought over from Africa.
Hmm. Wow.
The process of the Tennessee process is one of the processes that were brought from Africa. It's a charcoal filtration process. Africans brought over that particular process where you filter the salt water, or it's not the salt water, but you filter the water through stone, through charcoal. Filters out, natural process. So again, this is long and deep, man. So for me, rewriting those history books, talking about the farming, talk about the agriculture. The other components is the marketing, is that we're now seeing that when these brands are doing TV ads, they've got people of color. Mm-hmm. So it's not just this old white man is sitting there drinking a spirit with his friends. He's actually, now we're seeing people of color in those advertising.
Mm-hmm.
But man, for me, from a faith-based standpoint, it's really building communities that people that not only look like me, but when I first walked into these rooms, they didn't, like you said, a piece of a puzzle, and you don't want me to fit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they wanted. They wanted to force me out.
Mm-hmm.
But it only gave me more fire because I have more people behind me that we have to represent.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, we're building a community, and the community we're building is a very diverse community.
Yeah, you talked about
very diverse community.
Yeah.
And so when we go into these rooms, we see the diversity that's happening. So we know we got real movement.
But one of the things you mentioned to me as we had our brief conversation, you said about women.
Yes.
You said how many women that you brought into this, and you said the percentage is more women than it is men.
65%.
65%.
65%. Our organization represents 65% women.
Wow.
And we've got everything from neurosurgeons all the way down to students. Mm. And so I'm on the Dean of Council for Kentucky State University. I work very closely with different focal groups. And man, when I walk in the room, it's more sisters in there than it is young brothers, because they want to know. But the other thing too is that with this industry, there's very well paid jobs in this industry, mm-hmm. for those who are looking for the financial aspect. And so I'm now proud that we're the pipeline for these distillers that are looking to add people of color to these jobs. And so it comes across my desk first. Mm-hmm. I've got 3 interns that I've just filled for one of the distilleries last week. And so we're actually bridging the gap, becoming the pipeline for jobs, for even marketing opportunities. We've got a tasting group now that is built of about 7 people that they're invited all over the country to do special tastings. And so when these groups are brought in, man, they're actually going in and helping selecting a product, mm-hmm. that will come out at a later date. But before that, it wasn't us.
You talk about your faith. You talk about your work ethics. Who introduced you? Who was the one that you said, my faith, my introduction to who God is, my integrity, my character? Can you remember somebody, the grandmother, grandfather, cousin, auntie, neighbor, that introduced you to God at that time?
Man, honestly, it goes back to my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And so my grandmother, she packed me in church with her because my grandmother sung in the choir. Mm-hmm. And so my grandmother would take me to church with her every single Wednesday. And so that's where I started to really see the real faith that my grandmother had. And my grandmother would sing it through song. Mm. And so my grandmother could sing a song, man, that would just it raised the hair on your arm, man. And so she introduced me to God. My mother also sang, we were just in church all the time, man. But not only was we in church, it was later down the road that God was in me.
Yeah.
Because you could be in church.
Right.
But,
absolutely.
But having God in me later down the road is where I accepted Christ and as my Lord and Savior. And from that point, I ask God on a nightly basis, empty me of thee that I may be a vessel for you, Father. And every day I just go out and do the work. So when you say passion, man, it's just I have that natural energy, fire. I just want to do good work. And at the end of the day, I want to be a sweet fragrance to God.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they say we want. We want him to smell.
Absolutely.
That our praise that goes up to him, that it would be like a sweet incense up to him and to his nostrils. And that means, again, that he's pleased with that and what we are doing. Because, again, this is all going to vanish. It's what's internal is what we want. And so when we look at that, eternal things that are going to last beyond us. Now I want to talk to Peter just a little bit more about the mentoring, how you're going to mentor. I know we have the interns. I know we have all those things, but mentoring, I believe, is so big for me, mm-hmm. About teaching young men how to put a tie on.
Yes.
How to wear the right frames.
Yes.
How to put the right suit on.
There you go.
How to put the right accent, how to do the right handkerchief in the pocket, some of those things. Talk to me about those things. When you see our community today, mm-hmm. you have a young man walking in, what would you start to tell him?
Man, I'm one of those guys that's not fearful to speak up, man.
Yeah.
I don't fear this age group that we're mentoring. I just have more passion that supersedes fear because I really want the best for them. I definitely don't want them to go through the steps that I've gone through, mm-hmm. to get to where I'm at, because there was a lot of closed doors. That's what we're out here doing, is opening doors for these young men.
Yeah.
But we got to start at the beginning, man. We got to teach them etiquette, man. We got to teach them
etiquette.
Big
word,
we got to teach them etiquette, man. They got to, you know, we got to teach them grooming.
Yeah.
So in other words, we got to groom them.
Yeah.
You know, there's the mentoring. There's the scholarships. And so I generally give anywhere from 10 to 15 scholarships a year. Wow. We've already signed up for over $30,000 just this year alone in scholarships. And so, but if you want to take it all the way back, man, I've got, like I said, on the Dean's Council, my task is to continue to mentor these young men. And when I say global, I'm going back to that aspect because I've got students from all over the world in this group.
Wow.
And so we're teaching them, number one, how do you write a resume? How do you show up for that for that job interview? Because somewhere along the line, it got lost. It got real casual.
Yeah.
And so if you really want to be the differentiator, you have to be the difference. So you have to set that tone. And so it just takes a young man, it just takes a man to come in, and these young men listen. And so the mentoring, and it's not just a one time. I'm going to follow them, okay? Yeah. I'm going to follow them throughout their careers because I find a lot of these young men don't have positive male in their life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the other thing I challenge them is I create a book club for these young men.
Book club?
Yeah.
What?
Create a book club for them.
So they actually got to read?
I make them read, and we discuss. We read and discuss. Because to me, one of the more humbling books that I'm reading right now is a monk who sold his Ferrari.
Mm.
And so it talks about a man who was actually, he's an attorney, and he was highly regarded attorney, and how he had this just transformed his whole life and became a monk. But as his superiors taught him that he had to go back into the world and teach those that he actually used to work with. And so he sold his Ferrari, sold all his worldly belongings, sold everything, and he learned the ways of the monks. Went up in the mountains and he, you know, learned how to meditate, learned how to really decompress all of the things that he had learned and really just started to learn. Ate differently. Meditated on a daily basis, and then he went back into the society, and he's teaching his other people that he worked with. So the thing with me is, I'm teaching these young men humility.
Humility.
You got to learn humility.
Yeah.
And in order to be in my purpose, I have to have compassion and empathy for others. And so we got to teach that to these young men because that's something that these young men don't generally have. They don't have a lot of humility, and they're not really empathetic for other people and compassionate. So
yeah, absolutely. Now, one of the things as we started talking about this, mental health is real. You know, successful Black men are doing things, but we also have a high suicide rate. And so some of the things I want to ask you now, how do you deal with being in a competitive world? You're flying back and forth, Kentucky, Atlanta. International things you're doing, being mentoring, all of that. How do you handle your mental health?
Great question. I have a full program, man. And so for me, I have a therapist that I see every Thursday at 10 a.m.
Wow.
No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, my schedule's blocked off, and I've been doing that for years. And so the thing for me is that we had to go back into my past.
Yeah.
And really dig up some things that I didn't know were deep down embedded that were very hurtful. And so it's also the passion that I have because I grew up in a home that there was no father. And so I grew up with some good men in church.
Yeah.
Lovely men. But there's still just that difference of having a father in the house. And I think a lot of the decisions that I made growing up would have been different with that discretion and having a father that could guide you. And so, number one, it's taught me how to be a better father. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's taught me how to be a better brother, better cousin, and better friend. But also it gives me the fire to really, I don't give up on these young men. I don't give up on them. And so I love on them. And these men, they man, you'd be surprised, man. They need hugs, man.
Man,
they need hugs,
right. Absolutely.
And man, I had a young man. I don't know what he was going through that day, man. But I gave him a hug. I said, man, he said, man, I needed that.
Yeah.
And so, my therapy is continuing to evolve me into polishing me and evolving me into the man that I need to be for other people. My passion, but most importantly, my purpose is to inspire God's people.
Wow. Why do you think we're afraid to get help?
We wasn't taught.
Okay.
We wasn't taught that. I mean, man, if we, and believe it or not, it's not as expensive as you would think it would be. I think people are fearful of how much it costs.
Mm-hmm. Well, stigma.
Yeah.
Because we were taught, if you get counseling, you need any medication adjustment, you're crazy.
Yeah.
Labels are real.
Yes.
And we run from labels unless it's a label that we have created.
Yeah.
And then having to live up to the label can also be a part of that.
Yeah.
But when we want to be free, you have to be free of labels.
Yeah.
Because you need help.
And I think that's another part of growing up in the Black community, man. We there were people that were labeled. Mm-hmm. And labeled, oh, that person's crazy.
Yeah.
That person's out of their mind. Yeah. And it's like, we didn't there was no empathy to say, hey, maybe that person's really going through something.
Yeah.
Really going through something. And so, and as we live, I mean, you call it a nickel and you're a nickel 0.5.
Yeah.
Man, we done been through some things, man.
Absolutely.
And so, thank God for not, Lynn, you look good, by the way, brother. But thank God that we don't look like what we've been through.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because it's those things that God kept us and he preserved us. But even when we wasn't, the best to ourselves, God's always been good to us. And so for me, I'm just giving it back, man. It is my complete passion. I love my people. I don't give up on my people.
Yeah.
But I do encourage therapy. Mental health therapy is real. It's amazing, man. I mean, I go in and I come out. I feel energized. I feel like a new person. Mm-hmm. But I look forward to that chat.
Yeah.
And I've got an African American woman. She gives me black woman, black mama vibes.
Yeah.
And, and she doesn't hold back on me, man.
Yeah.
And she gives it to me. She prays for when we start. She prays when we finish.
Wow.
And so. That's the auntie that I needed growing up, and this therapy that I needed growing up. But so I have it now. I strongly encourage anyone that I meet. I said, how's your mental health? Because even through the things that we've been through, the pandemic, man, there's some post-traumatic stress that came out of all that.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know that that conversation's really happened, but that pandemic took us through some things.
Yeah.
You know, especially living in Louisville, Kentucky. Hmm. Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
I saw that. I saw that whole movement.
Wow.
Walking down the street.
Wow.
Every day, the whole entire summer, I saw that.
So you had to relive that.
I saw it every day. I saw the helicopters. I saw the snipers on the roof. I seen the black vans going up and down the street with Homeland Security on it. I seen our people hurting. Yeah. Wow. So I saw a lot going on. So yeah, man, what your eyes see, man, we internalize it. We just got to figure out how to get it out of our system.
Yeah.
And that's my way. My avoid is to get it out through therapy.
And that, again, not to become what you've taken in.
Sure.
Because that will come out some kind of way, but it's how we bring it out is a thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people don't know, again, I have an earned doctorate degree from Liberty University where you can actually go and pull it up. So, I'm not one of these ones that say you're just getting it. And I'm not saying that people that have those are not, and they look at this podcast and say, oh, well, what is he bringing to this fashion? I have a lot that's there. And a lot of times we're being judged and not understanding. It's a lot to the book. And now I'm looking at Masters of Social Work. I'm in school right now to become licensed in that clinical side. Bringing those guys. I have a 21-year business that we do right now for mental health. And so bringing those things again. I have family. I have children. So I understand some of those things that are important. But as we went through this, with this journey. We started talking about mental health, which is real. Men, we have to get help for the things that are ailing us. They don't just disappear. Mm-mm. You need to talk to someone. You need to have a brother in the outlet. That's why I start this off. Your pastor, your brother, your counselor, come on, your next door neighbor, the doctor, come on, it's your friend. It's someone that's there that's willing to talk to you, not to judge you with that. All of us need those people. But then we also need some clinical things sometimes when we can't go beyond ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's okay to not be okay, but it's okay to get a help to get to be okay.
Absolutely.
So I want to tell you today with all of those things, you know, as Rob is sharing with us his life, some key points. I mean, he's got so much here that we have to pull from young men like this, brothers like this, who are doing it in the game and doing it right, but willing to open up their lives to help you. And so if I could say anything to any of us young or either older or mid, do not die with it in you.
Man.
Do not die with it in you.
That's powerful.
We've got to release what we know. Somebody is on your journey right now. I'm telling you, just like going through an airport, you notice people in there. Not everybody's going to the same baggage claim.
Sure.
But we are taking the same journey.
Sure.
We're getting on airplanes. We're going to destinations. So at this point, I want to tell you, listen, this is my charge on this, because it's a black man to a black man talking that we have to. And if they don't look like you, it's okay. We're not being racial. We're just saying we have to empower our own.
Yes, sir.
So that, and then we have to receive.
Yes, sir.
It's nothing wrong with receiving. Let's not reject everything. We have to receive. We have to humble ourselves and sit down and learn how to listen to someone with a little bit more knowledge than you may have.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, bro, I like those frames. Where'd you get them from?
Yeah, man.
Man, I like the swag. It's okay. It's not a problem. It should not be a problem for me to compliment another brother and mean it and not be hating.
I never feel uncomfortable, man. I love to be able to share with my brothers who we have a like-minded things that we like. We love fashion. We love, but the conversations, man. I've got mentors that are younger than me.
Yeah,
it's not an age thing, man. It's just I respect the knowledge and I respect what younger guys that I've got a business strategist, man. He's 33 years old, man. But he's sharp.
Sharp.
Super sharp, brother, man.
That's right.
Super sharp. And when he's talking, I'm taking notes.
See, wait a minute. He said, when he's talking, I'm taking notes.
Absolutely.
What happened to that? That we think that we all have it here and we stop taping notes.
Goes back to the humility thing. And I said, you know, we're teaching the young man humility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in order to know that what you don't know, man, sometimes you got to get in front of people to know. And I tell these young men, man, you're only as strong as your circle. And so be careful who you run with, because my network is strong. And so, you know, the cliche is, you know, your network is your net worth. So, but I believe it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so as we get ready to bring this Encourage Nation, listen, I always usually do my rapid fire at the beginning just to kind of break. But because I felt so comfortable with him, I mean, we talked last night briefly. He was getting off an airplane. He called me. We were going. We had our conversation. Then we were doing a little photo shoot together with a connoisseur of Harry, you know, with Mr. Allen. It was getting us together. It was powerful to be with some black young man, and one young man, again, was not of our race, but I tell you, that soul that was on him was amazing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
What I'm saying that is when we get men together.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were helping each other, telling us the other how to pose this way, do it this way, and we all vibed. Yeah. I mean, it was a different race. I'm the only one with this gray hair on my face like this, but it was amazing to be in the room with the energy and to feel like you were welcome.
Absolutely.
And so now we're going to talk about what fashion right now, would you rather be casual or dressy?
Man, I'm always down about being dressed, man. Okay. I respect those who don't.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the differentiator, and I love the way that you're looked at and taken very seriously, man. I can walk down the street with some jeans and a t-shirt on and nobody speak to me.
Yeah.
You go down the street with a suit on, suited and booted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody's going to speak.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I like that. I like to take that charge and when I walk in the room. But for me, it's about dress, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, go back to the old days, man. Harlem. You go back to the old days with, you know, men dressed up every day, man. All day. You put your best foot forward.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to be taken seriously, we go into these rooms. We represent a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so we have to represent.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's put your best foot forward.
What fragrance are you rocking right now? What you got in your collection?
Man, I've got a lot of French cologne. Yeah, hard to pronounce the names. But the one that I probably, that we probably well know together would be more something like the Creed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the oil base.
Yeah.
Creed
is classic.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It is a gentleman's fragrance.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the things. We don't get paid by Creed. We're just trying to say that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Now, should we be rocking a pocket square or not?
Always.
What does the pocket square do, you believe? You feel with it? It
completes the package, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Complete. If you don't wear it, you know.
Okay.
It's just like that gaping hole, but the pocket square just shows classic.
Okay.
Classic man.
Yes, sir.
But it shows polished.
Okay.
Yeah.
Polished, classic.
You know what you're doing.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what about a watch? What does the watch say about it?
Completes the package.
Uh-huh. A watch.
Absolutely.
All right. So we need to have a nice timepiece on.
Man, just have a timepiece.
Not on your phone, but have a watch.
Have a timepiece on if you really want to complete the package. I believe that's absolutely necessary.
Yeah. And grooming, all right? In the morning, when we're getting it together, I mean, you know, the ice challenge is out right now. They talk about the guy, the black guy that's going viral now, but I think he takes 5 hours from the morning to the end or something like that, that he does the ice and all those things. So your grooming now, when you start, as we say, we get older, different things like that. What are some of the things, vitamins, any of those things? What do you do?
From a grooming standpoint, man, I use turmeric soap.
Okay.
I use just to all the properties, it's turmeric and honey. I use a shaver every morning, to make sure it's tight, make sure our lines are tight. But for the beard, I love your beard, brother. we're beard foxes. And so every day it takes a balm and an oil that will actually hold your beard down and gives you that sheen.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than have, you know, those things not pulled together.
Yeah.
So supplements, man, it's a list. I mean, I would go all across the board on. We need vitamin D as black men.
Yes, sir.
You need potassium, we need B, we need A, B, C, vitamins. I do my supplements morning and night. Just don't take the wrong ones when on an empty stomach, man.
Yeah. It's not good. We want to make sure that you got the right thing.
Absolutely.
And so as we bring this podcast right here, I'm trying to tell you, you know, I wanted to take notes while I'm sitting here talking to him. And I was like, but I can't do it because I'm the host. So I got to make sure. But I got to replay this and look at it again. I hope that you're going to do the exact same thing, because this will not be the last time that I get an opportunity to pick his brain and just to pull some of this energy out of him, because what he's giving off now, his vibe, is for many to understand. But being a polished black man in the industry. But it's beyond him. History, leaving a legacy, showing others how to achieve what he's achieved, or to go beyond that and not to walk in a place of fear or to try to hold anyone back. He's willing to give of himself. And you heard his faith. You heard, yes, he's doing some things that maybe everybody may not feel comfortable with, okay? That's his industry. He's still a believer. God has us in all different fields, but that's what God has him. So sometimes we can't judge things. You got to be open to some things. Now, it's what we do with those things becomes what it is, right? And so as we move through here, we have to be able to open our minds. And as you said, you got to go beyond hearing the word spirits and go to what it means, the chemical things that happen. And that's just like us in our life. We got to go through some processes. We got to go through some stones. There's some flowing that's going through. So as you look at those things, you got to be able to eat. Come on. And spit out the bones. What you don't need, I get it. But I don't discredit the value of the conversation. And so as we move forth with here, And we keep opening this podcast to different things that different people have understanding. Entrepreneurship, what it means to be a man, grooming, fashion, counseling, you know, all of those things. What are we doing? What legacy are we doing? What are we leaving? And so my final word, as I would say right now, is, you know, Rob Beattie, I just want him to say your final word that you would say to a brother right now who's saying, one day I hope to be you. What would you tell him?
Man, I would just continue to, I'm honored by someone that would make that statement. I feel like that my presence and my aura will at least show outwardly what I feel on the inside. And yeah. So, man, I'm honored, but most important, I think we all have our own identity. And I think it's important to tap into who that person is. Yeah. Most importantly, understand what your purpose is. And you're only going to know if you ask. Mm. And you have to ask God, what is it that you have me here for, Father? Mm. And once you understand that purpose, you have to live in that purpose.
Yeah.
And so for me, find your purpose, live in it, be the best in it. Job's not done. And just keep pushing, man, because it's a ride.
Yeah.
It's a ride. And well, you got to be about it.
Listen,
you got to be about it.
You got to be about it.
Yeah.
But that final word, find your purpose and live in that. Let that be your driving force along with your faith. And so right now, with Rob Beattie being my guest today, I am so excited about all the things that he's going to be doing. So Encourage Nation, I'll be continuing this conversation. We say dot, dot, dot to be continued. But again, I want you to find your purpose today. Young man, come on, pull your pants up. Let's go ahead on and do some grooming. Let's add some suits in there. Let's go ahead on and get us some fragrance. Let's go ahead on and make sure that if we mentally are unstable or if we are stable, just make sure you have the right mental supports that are going to keep you. So today, I just want to tell you, Encourage Nation, come on, who am I? I'm your doctor. Come on, I'm your counselor. I'm your friend. I'm your cousin. I'm your pastor. Come on, I am your confidant. I am that guy. You know what I'm saying? So again, Encourage Nation, I want to thank you for tuning in. And what they say, I need you to subscribe. I need you to like. I need you to comment. I need you to share. I'm asking now for your support to help this podcast continue to grow, because you know somebody needs to hear this. There is another person waiting for this message. So today, I want to say thank you again for all that. I'm in ATL. Thank you again. God bless. I'm gonna win. You gonna win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning. Yeah.